is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
That's right, it's Live Bet Sunday. This is VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with my guy Will Hill, and we've got you covered for the next 3 hours right here on the sports betting network. It is a busy day in sports. Happy Father's Day to all those who celebrate. Want to get you updated where we stand with everything currently going on. The U.S. Open final round is upon us here. Currently, Sam Berger, leader, 2 under. Adam Scott right behind him, 1 under. And then Hovland at even. And we'll discuss more about Victor Hovland in just a few minutes here. We have 2 College World Series games today. Right now, we have one going on between Louisville and Oregon State. Trying to find
Arizona.
Louisville lost to Oregon State the other day. Loser will go home in this one. We have a big trade in the NBA that we have to talk about, because it feels like the market for what it takes to acquire a player these days, if you want someone, you're going to have to overpay. That's just the reality. And then Will and I will have our weekly conversation about the Baltimore Orioles and whether we're willing to buy in right now. But before we get to the baseball that's coming up here in about 9 minutes, let me welcome in my partner, Will Hill. You can find him over on X at NotTheWillHill. And a happy Father's Day to you, my man. How's the Father's Day going so far? Did the kids do anything for you?
Yeah, I went out to a nice little lunch, and then I was able to get home and start sweating out some U.S. Open, some baseball. Yankees not exactly delivering me a gift here. They're about to get swept by the Red Sox, which I'm sure, well, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it today. Maybe next week we can talk about it, or in a couple weeks from now we can figure out some time to talk about it. Today might be a little bit busy with both of these 4 o'clock Eastern games coming up. But, yeah, it's been good. Fun sports day, even though we only got 2 games at 4 o'clock, which is weird. Usually we sit here. It's funny. I do the Saturday live bet show, and 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon on the East Coast, there's like 20 games that start at once for whatever reason. Today it's the polar opposite, and part of it, it's just a perfect storm. The Angels are in Baltimore. The A's are in Kansas City. Some of these teams that would normally be hosting, normally be home playing at 4 o'clock are on the road. And then you got the Giants and the Dodgers are A, playing each other, and B, playing the Sunday night game. So you wipe out, you know, 3-4 teams just like that, and you're left with 2 4 o'clock Eastern games. But plenty discussed. Big NBA trade, like you mentioned, golf, baseball. Should be a lot of fun.
As a Mets fan, don't worry. I will find time for us to discuss the fact that the New York Yankees are getting shut out right now, and they've only scored a couple runs in this series up in Fenway. Don't worry. We have plenty of time hashed out for that conversation, Will. You mentioned the baseball. Real quick, an update on the score in Omaha. 6th inning, Arizona up 3-1 on the Louisville Cardinals. Cardinals season on the line, which is pretty dramatic because they had a big comeback the other night to force this situation where they ended up in the loser's bracket. They come back bottom, come back top of the ninth, end up losing bottom of the ninth. So tough spot for them here if they do get eliminated against Arizona. But Major League Baseball, a couple games that we have to handicap that are about to get underway. And we'll look back at everything that's happened earlier in the afternoon. 4-10 on the East Coast, 1-10 on here on the West. It's the Padres at the Diamondbacks. A really good pitcher's matchup, Will. We've got Nick Pivetta on the hill for San Diego, plus $1.12. Merrill Kelly is laying 137. That total is 8.5 right now, juiced to the over, which is interesting because I started the conversation with this is an interesting pitcher matchup. What are you looking at if you were going to do anything here?
Under 4.5 in the first 5.
I like that.
And I understand the sentiment for the over, just because if you look at both pitchers, they're both due for some negative regression. Both ERAs about a run lower than the expected ERA. So not sure either one of them can sustain this. But 4.5 for the first 5, to me, that's just a key number, where sometimes at 4, I'll stay away. 3.5, I have to really love the pitchers. At 4.5, you know, 4 is just such a common key number in these first 5s, where you see it so often, 3-1 or 2-2. If I can win on the 4, which I can here in both of these games, I'm going to go that route. How about Arizona, though? I believe Bob Nightingale had this tweet. First team in baseball history to have 3 ninth inning rallies of 5 runs or more before the All-Star break. They did it about, the first game of the finals last Thursday. So about 10 days ago, they're down 6 against the Braves, scored 7, winning the ninth. Last night, they're down, I believe, 4 and scored 5 in the ninth to win. And they had a game earlier in the year against the Brewers on a Saturday night where they were down 4 or 5 runs, came back and won it in the ninth. So, I mean, you get one of these, maybe one a year, sometimes one every 2 or 3 years, where you're down 5-plus runs in the ninth and you win the game and you don't even need extras to win it. You just win it on the spot. That almost never happens. To have 3 of these here and we're in the middle of June is really remarkable. You know, they lose Burns, they lose Martinez, the reliever. But I don't know if you saw the comments. The GM said, hey, we're buying. We're in this thing to win it. You get these jobs as a GM, your goal is to win, and we're going for it. So it's a pretty good National League, but the Dodgers look vulnerable. The Padres have had their struggles. The Giants are okay. They're good. They're not great. So, you know what? Why not the Diamondbacks making another run here despite the injuries? So some remarkable wins here for Arizona, but I am on the under 4.5 in the first five.
Hey, you should have bet more. Should have listened to your podcast because that was my team this preseason when I came on with you. And by the way, you've gotten nothing out of Zach Gallen. If Arizona starts to figure out what's wrong with Gallen, things get very interesting there because they have a lot of depth in the pitching staff. Maybe the back end isn't as good as you'd like in the rotation, but if Gallen gets right with Merrill Kelly, I know Burns is down, but they still have plenty of guys that they can rely on. They're on a five-game winning streak. You mentioned the miracle comeback last night. Haven't seen, is Jackson Merrill in the lineup last night? He had a head injury stealing second base, so I don't know if he's going to give it a go today. Nick Pivetta for San Diego. Hot start, but back-to-back bad starts. 5 earned runs in 6 innings at San Francisco. 4 earned in 4 versus the Dodgers. He's also bad on the road. Meanwhile, you've got Merrill Kelly, 13 straight scoreless innings on the bump. Last 30 days, 5 starts, a 2.32 ERA. He's also 9-4 lifetime against the Padres with 3.36 ERA over 16 starts. I bet D-backs, minus 135. I think the momentum keeps rolling. I think they're the hot team. And I never know what I'm going to get out of the San Diego bats. They're very up and down. There's a lot of names that you know and normally trust, but there's a lot of no-shows if you look at the game log. So we're going to back Arizona in that one. I also like Will's play of the under in the first five. VSiN, these
no Merrill, by the way.
Wait, what happened?
No Merrill. Merrill's out of the lineup.
Oh, Jackson Merrill. I thought I meant Merrill Kelly. Got it.
Yes.
I got too many Merrills. Name that Merrill.
Good point.
There's a lot of Merrills in this
good
conversation.
Point.
It's a weird name.
Meryl Streep also not playing.
She's not available. N.A. Also coming up here with the other game about to start in about 4 minutes. Guardians at the Mariners, Will. It's Luis Ortiz on the hill, -101 at Seattle and Emerson Hancock, -$1.21. Total is 8. Mariners are 4.5 back in the West. Guardians 9.5 back in the Central. They're both a half game back in the wild card. Seattle took the first 2 games of this series. Seattle's 3-8 over their last 11. Guardians have lost 7 of 10. Things have not been going well of late for both organizations. When you look at this one, I have a player prop. How would you play this?
Tough one. I don't love either pitcher, but I don't love either lineup, so... where does that leave you? I'm not really interested. Side total, again, at 4.5 in the first five with 2 lineups that, you know, struggled to score runs, especially Cleveland. You know, more so against lefties and righties, but it's still not a great lineup. I'd only look towards the under 4.5 in the first five. So I did play a little bit on that just because it's a smaller play. But you do ask yourself these questions sometimes. Am I betting this just because it's on, just to bet it, just because I want action? If there were 10 other games right now, would you be betting on this Mariners-Guardians game? No. Perhaps not, but I do have a small play here on the under 4.5, first five for both of these games.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Luis Ortiz has been a little bit better of late than he was to start the year. He's still not very good, and with that, I'm going to look at a player prop where I'm trying to find a left-handed bat that I think could do some damage against him today. So we'll go with J.P. Crawford. We're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs at -113 juice. He's hitting 295 on the season, but he's 331 against right-handed pitching, 391 overall over his last 6 games, and he's hitting .413 in June overall. So I think this is a spot where a guy in Ortiz leaves some balls over the plate, and Crawford's locked in. We'll go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs with J.P. Crawford, the shortstop. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill, at not the Will Hill over on Twitter. You can find me over at Dustin Sweetelson. Did we just go final up in Boston, Will? I believe that ball game is over. And the Boston Red Sox have shut out your New York Yankees. First, are you okay? I'm worried about my friend. He was enjoying the magical ride that his team was on. But all of a sudden, Will, what's happened to this offense? We got 1 run on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 0 today up at Fenway. What's going on?
And this is now 5 of 6 the Red Sox have beaten the Yankees, which doesn't feel like a fluke. I know any Yankee fan sees the Red Sox, man. When it comes time for the playoffs, like last year they lucked out because it was all Central teams once you got to the division round. Give me anybody, the Twins, the Tigers, the Royals. I'll play anybody instead of the Red Sox. Red Sox are a pain in the neck. Devers kills the Yankees. Cora's a good manager. They got this young talent. So not sure what to make of it. This was right around last time, this time last year when the Yankees, remember, they were just mowing through people, and they went on a very prolonged slump. I couldn't even call it a slump. It was a good 6 weeks of awful, awful baseball before they got back on track. It was right around this time last year. It started really with the Boston series there, too. So I think they're going to be okay. I mean, they miss Weaver. Stanton's on his way back. Trade deadline's not that far. I think they'll be fine in the AL East. I think this is just one of those things that happens over the course of 162, which I know is boring because you got to break these things down and overreact. Oh, the Yankees are frauds. I think the Yankees will be fine. They'll be in the playoffs, but they are a flawed team. I think that's what we've learned over the last week, 2 weeks, even back to the Dodgers series. Was that 2 or 3 weeks ago? The Yankees are a flawed team, I think, is the takeaway here from the last couple weeks.
Yeah, look, they've overachieved. Obviously, the Gerrit Cole injury was one part of it. The pitching has been exemplary. The offense has been off the charts, probably due for some regression here. And, I mean, you have a 4.5-game lead in the division on the Rays and the Blue Jays. Feels like you're in a good position here. I'm not sure Boston has enough to overcome this. I would add, though, I do believe Garrett Crochet is undervalued in the AL Cy Young market. His numbers are pretty close to Skubal's, and he's like 12-1. That might be a bet that we add before the show is over. And speaking of the show, we have a fun one lined up for you over the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. We'll do college baseball at the bottom of this hour with Quentin Mills. Last hour, preview Sunday night baseball. Go up to San Francisco. Dan Dibley, 95.7 The Game, will join us. Get a look at Dodgers and Giants. A good rivalry, a good Sunday night baseball. But when we return, Will and I will get you updated on everything happening as the early baseball window is ending and the stories that jumped out to us, including a Cy Young bet I placed this week, maybe looking better. All that and more next on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Sunday. This is VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill, we've got you covered here throughout the afternoon on VSEN. Appreciate you joining us however you may be. SiriusXM Channel 158, the VSEN Watch app. Best places to find us, as well as YouTube TV, so you can see our pretty faces here as we are with you on a Father's Day, a great Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to my dad. I should actually get that out of the way. I didn't do it in the opening segment. Feels like a big error on my part. Happy Father's Day to Bill. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Bill. It made me care about sports, maybe too much, but we deal with that part of it in therapy, and that's where we stand there. I've got Will Hill with me here, and Will, baseball season. What, you like the shots at my dad? Baseball season for you. I'm curious how things are going overall, because I would tell you this, doing these Sunday shows with you, I need to remind myself more that Sunday getaway day is a little bit more difficult from a mentality perspective. I am betting too many team totals over on getaway day, and I'm finding these teams that have good matchups, they're not coming through. And I think part of that is the travel, part of that is the schedule and potential breaks or going to another city that later that day. And I think that we have to examine Sunday getaway day as a totally different aspect than the previous two games of these series. Anything jumping out to you at the moment?
Yeah, no, I think that's an important observation here to a couple things. You keep in mind the schedule and just not just travel spots, but, you know, it can be dangerous, the amateur psychology of, oh, this team, you know, they care or they don't care. But sometimes you see these different lineups on a Sunday where, all right, this guy's played, you know, 9-10 days in a row. It's a day game after night game. We'll either sit our catcher, we'll sit somebody. So the lineups can be different. And just self-scouting in terms of like, hey, how do I do? What are my strengths? Where am I winning? What props am I winning on? What bets am I winning on? What am I losing on? And try to explain it. And sometimes it's just going to be, you know, randomness. You flip a coin 100 times. Sometimes you're going to get, you know, 60 heads and 40 tails. It doesn't mean tails is better than heads, but I do think it's important to self-scout and look back. So I think that's, you know, important aspect of betting. But I'm curious, because I thought we had a pretty good conversation. It's unfortunate most of the best stuff of our show happens off of the air, but let's try and keep it. Let's try to bring it on the air. You just brought up something that I think is fascinating. These books, except for FanDuel, they love to pull the MLB awards during gameplay. And my guess is they just don't want to monitor it. They think, you know, yeah, God forbid Judge gets hurt or Otani gets hurt, then their odds are all out of whack and they're left with, you know, some number that's really stale. I mean, you think of Wembanyama getting hurt. That wasn't during the game, but Wembanyama getting hurt, what was it, January, all of a sudden defensive player of the year, that market gets turned on its head. I'm guessing they're concerned about that because any performance, I mean, it's just one of 162. Unless it's a pitcher, you know, pitching a perfect game, a hitter hitting three or four homers, the one game is not going to really affect the market that much. Usually, of course, there's exceptions. So I'm guessing it's just injury concern. But what are your thoughts about these books not allowing you to bet awards during games?
I think it's par for the course with them. And speaking of par for the course, the U.S. Open is in a weather delay. We'll update you once they get going again. Looks like a flood warning, though, in the area. A little concerning. I'm not sure if we finish this one today, but the weather is pretty brutal at the moment. On the books, Will, I mean, it's their sandbox, right? They get to dictate the rules of how we play in it. I just think it's a chump move that whenever they don't have a massive advantage against the better, they just take it off the board. And I understand that it's a community, like we're part of an economy with them where they claim they want to just win the VIG on all of these bets. But we know in the futures market, they get a lot of donations from people like me who are willing to take shots on the 50s and 40s and 30 to 1s. It feels like during games, they should, one, be leaving them up and just have them move as events occur within a game that impact someone's candidacy for an award. But big picture, I think that they should maybe be anticipating that. Maybe move the number ahead of time. When you know a player is going to Colorado, maybe their odds get a little bit longer right before that start. If someone is taking on a light-hitting offense, maybe you make their odds a little bit shorter before that start, and you can end up on the right side if you're the book. I just think it's a weak move because they have all the advantages of just to decide, yes, you can bet into this market, no, you cannot at this given time. As someone who likes to dabble with these and likes to get ahead of them, it's a bit frustrating. And for example, this is one where I got ahead of them in Zach Wheeler. I don't know if you caught it earlier today, the Phillies right now up 11-4 on Toronto, and a lot of it was Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, six innings, four hits, two earned, nine strikeouts, drops his ERA to 2.76. He was 12-1 before his start. I'm looking at FanDuel, he's now plus 950, Will. So this was a spot where if they anticipated he had a good start against Toronto at home, they could have moved it ahead of time. Instead, he 12-1 to 950. That's the movement we see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just your point is accurate that they just don't want to. I mean, part of it, they take their ball and they go home. Anytime they think that they're slightly, even the slightest bit, it's somewhat possible of a disadvantage, whether it's an injury or they're late to the punch on a performance, they're just going to take their ball and go home and not give you the opportunity to get, you know, $3 of value, which, look, Wheeler could have gone out and got bombed today, and then you don't have a good number. So it works both ways.
How about Lizardo?
It is what it is.
Lizardo had those two starts in a row where he's in the Cy Young conversation.
Sure.
And then he basically is taken out of it by allowing a million earned runs, just left in to take it on the chin. And if the books leave that up, they could have had people trying to bet into that market, you know, as that game is starting, thinking they're going to get value. And then in the end, by the end of the game, he's so pushed down the board, he's unbettable. On your point,
the irony is,
yeah,
the one last thing, the irony is, if you're leaving these bets up for the awards during the games, you're probably going to attract a lot of overreaction bets, impulse bets. Oh, this guy's having a good start.
Yes.
Okay, he's having one good start.
Someone hit a grand slam.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably attracting some bets that, I mean, let's face it, a lot of the bets that they limit or outright reject, and mostly just limit, or don't let you bet because the awards are down, chances are it's going to be a loser. So they do themselves a disservice a lot more times than not, I think.
Yeah, and also it's frustrating because I'll go to bet something. Even when these games get done, it takes a while for the markets to be put back up at a lot of these books. After these games, I want to bet into it. By the time they put it up, I'm already done with my day thinking about bets for a minute, and I can't get to it until the next one. So it's a little annoying.
Right.
If any chance they have to inconvenience us, they will. And you also mentioned a lot with baseball, sometimes these coin flip aspects. And I had two games today on the board. From a betting perspective, I just thought the market was way off. I may go 0-2. But they're both big plus money dogs on a Sunday where I thought they should have been 50-50 games. One was Jeffrey Springs, who's still on the hill for the Athletics at the Royals. We're tied up in the seventh, 2-2 is your score. Right now, Athletics still plus 170, Royals minus 227. And it was a spot where I just saw Jeffrey Springs as a guy, Will, who's really good away because no one can pitch in Sacramento. Luis Severino's another guy, really good away. I won with him plus $1.35 the other night. And then I also went with Chicago and Aaron Civale at plus $1.58 on the road at Texas. Right now the Rangers are up 2-0, and we have Texas minus -790 on the money line, plus +467 with Chicago, in-game total 4.5 in the sixth inning. But I may lose both of those. But if I win both of them, and we just look at it from that perspective of those two sides, I can be up in the end with that plus price coming back the other way, $1.67. Or whatever it was on the A's earlier today. I just think in baseball, you have to be betting it daily. If you're not betting it daily, you can't take those chances that I took today with the plus prices.
Yeah, and you have to be tracking it daily too. Even if you say, you know what, I want a day off, I want to collect my breath, you have to at least be aware of what's going on because it helps you keep in the rhythm, especially you're betting sides, totals, you know, whose bullpen is taxed, not taxed. It's hard to take 3-4 days. I know some people do it. Some people just, you know what, weekend warriors, they do it recreationally. I understand that, but, you know, your point is right where, you know, that plus 120, 130, you got to get enough reps. If you do have an advantage, eventually that, you know, that plus money goes in your favor more times than not.
Well, it adds up over time, right? I've had runs where I've been under 500, but because there were so many plus prices won, I was technically net positive with the money. So, I mean, sometimes we just look at, hey, I won the bet. Okay, you paid 160 juice. You have to be right so many more. We have this discussion so many times, but the more you start hitting these plus prices, you realize you can go 50-50 at the plus prices and be up in the end. That's the biggest key there. And if you want to be smarter when it comes to betting football, we have a great deal for you over at VSiN.com. Become a VSiN Pro today and get a full year for just $199. Plus, you'll get a free order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, his new book that's coming out very shortly. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Plus, with your VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, and video access 24/7 to the VSiN Watch app, and of course, our NFL betting guide, which drops on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. All you have to do is go to vsin.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot going on. We updated you on some of the baseball going on. We didn't touch on the College World Series. What's going on in Omaha, and how do we bet the game later tonight? We're going to do that next with Quentin Mills, VSiN contributor. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Live Bet Sunday. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill. We've got you covered. We did a lot of Major League Baseball, and don't worry, you're not missing any updates when it comes to the golf. They're currently in a weather delay over at the U.S. Open. As soon as we get updated information, we will let you know when they are going to resume, if that happens later today. But we haven't discussed enough the college baseball currently ongoing in Omaha. And to help us do that, our buddy Quentin Mills is going to join us now live from Omaha, Nebraska. And he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Quentin doing awesome work here, VSiN contributor, as well as collegebaseballinsiders.com. He is the co-founder of that website. Before we get to the actual action, Quentin, let's get a lay of the land. Set the scene for the listeners. What has Omaha been like this year? And then a personal question for me, have you had a great steak? Because I contend the Drover is one of my favorite steakhouses in America. Have you gone for a legit Omaha steak during the trip?
We did our first night. We went to Jay Gilbert's. It's right next to the Marriott. Great place. Highly recommend. The atmosphere is great. Like, the city of Omaha has built this up so well. You know, when they moved from Rosenblatt to Charles Schwab, that it's kind of like a mecca hub right around the Hilton Hotel, the baseball field. You have Rocco's, you know, the Blatt. Like, it's just so well set up. You don't have to go anywhere. It's kind of like an all inclusive resort. You know, if you will, and if you can't have a good time here, then I think you're the problem, because it's certainly not everybody around you and not the environment.
Let's get to the Jello shots here before we get to the baseball. I promise we'll get to the baseball and the betting, but you got to take care of some business first. The Jello shots, we were talking off the air. I guess they're different this year. How much are the Jello shots in terms of like quantity of alcohol? And what's your experience been? How many have you had so far?
So I've been coming since 21, and they were in-house up to this year, and then they outsourced to a company, I believe, out of Vegas, Jot Shots. It's pretty cool, the new cup design, but they have a little punch behind them. They're 13% alcohol, which is a little high. You hear people around who have been, you know, here the last couple of years, and the common denominator is, oh, you can actually taste alcohol this year in them. And I'd say counts are a little down, and I have to suspect maybe that's one of the reasons why. But overall, it is one of the better tasting ones that in the 5 years that I've been here.
Knocking out your own customers, that's the issue. If it's too strong, they're not going to buy more. I totally understand. Quentin Mills
that's
is our guest. VSiN contributor when it comes to college baseball. collegebaseballinsiders.com is the website. So let's talk about the baseball right now, where Arizona's up 3-1 on Louisville in the game currently going on in front of you there in Omaha. Even money if you want to back the Cardinals, minus $1.30 with the Wildcats. And Louisville was in this situation the other night, Quentin. Came back against Oregon State. They unfortunately end up losing the game. Do you believe that the Cardinals have a little magic in them to make this interesting?
I think Arizona holds here. They just have better pitching depth, especially when you're talking to the bullpen. It's been one of the weakest areas for Louisville. And I think, you know, they just put in pretty much all hands on deck. All the chips are on the table with Tucker Beavin in right now. And he's done really well to this point. But I don't know if he's going to get you to the ninth. And credit to Arizona's pitching staff. Chip Hale's done a wonderful job with them throughout the course of the season. They've pitched really well here. Even in their first game against Coastal, they held Coastal in check for 8 innings. So I think they get it done. I think they're the better team here, and you'll see Arizona playing another game.
Winner's bracket tonight here, Coastal Carolina against Oregon State. Winner's sitting pretty. Coastal Carolina, $1.45 favorite, total 8.5. What do you like here tonight, if anything?
So I do lean the minus 145, and again, right, like we look for the best prices. There's two games, and so you're kind of limited on your lines. I don't think it's a horrible line in comparison to some games we've had where Coastal was a minus 230 favorite against Arizona. I thought that was a little blown out, so I think this is a more reasonable line. I also lean the under. Every game but one, in the which was ironically game one of Arizona and Coastal, have hit the under, and quite frankly, that was on pace for an under if it wasn't for, you know, just a super clutch three-run gap double. And so outside of that, I mean, the park is blowing in from right field. It has been all week. This park plays big. The balls aren't flying out. We've had 3 home runs in total of 5 games to this point. So I think, especially with Jacob Morrison and Ethan Kleinschmidt on the mound, two perennial pitchers, I think the under is the play as well.
Yeah, talk to me about Morrison. I believe Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year on the bump for Coastal, who, from what I've heard from Stormy and JVT and Mitch and Paulie, who are all out there for our VSiN shows the last few days, the Coastal representation has been pretty strong in Omaha. Does it feel like it may be a home game for the Chanticleers here? And tell me more about Morrison, the pitcher, and what we can expect.
Yeah, Teal Nation has showed up big, and I suspect if they continue through this tournament, the state of South Carolina is going to lose some population to Omaha, Nebraska for the week. But credit to them, right? Great fan bases, always follow good teams. And Jacob Morrison is a reason why Coastal has been so good. He's 11-0 this year with a low 3 ERA. The kid's pitched in some big moments. He's pitched against ECU. He's pitched against Auburn. So, you know, when you're going up against the Oregon State team, maybe coming out of the Sun Belt, like, you're not that worried about it because he's been in those moments, and he has an uncanny ability this year where in certain spots where he's gotten into some trouble, he's been able to get himself and the Shants out of that trouble. So I think when it comes to adversity, you feel good with a guy like that on the mound who's been there, done that, and is not going to get overwhelmed by maybe walking a guy or, you know, getting 2 back-to-back singles put on him. I think he's going to have a really good showing today, and I think Coastal in general is just having a great showing, right? Like, you look at intangibles, they have it. They have that it factor. And sometimes it's not all about numbers. It's about, you know, the mojo, being here before, the mentality you have. And I think they're checking all the boxes right now for me.
Louisville did just score, but Arizona gets out of the inning. No further damage. So it's 3-2 heading to the top of the eighth. Arizona leading. Arkansas, Murray State, one of my favorite things about this tournament is you get weekday action, you get weekday afternoon action. We get a Monday 2 o'clock Eastern game here between the darlings of the tournament so far, Murray State and Arkansas. Arkansas is a $5 favorite, a 3.5 run line favorite. Any chance at all here for Murray State, or is this them walking into a hornet's nest here with Arkansas?
It's definitely a hornet's nest, especially being held to one run yesterday. They had one shot by Reese Robinette, but outside of that, they were just kind of, you know, stymied on offense by Cade Anderson. You know, and that's no disrespect to him. The guy's just an absolute stud. But Dave Van Horn has one of the better offenses in the entire country throughout the year, and he expects them to produce more than one run in a game, especially at the biggest level, you know, in a huge a game. And I think they take some frustration out here on Murray State. If I'm seeing plus or minus 4.5. If you can get a 3.5, take that all day long, because I just think this is a moment where you'll see, you know, one run last game, they take that frustration out on the Racers.
Quentin Mills with us, checking in live from Omaha at the College World Series. Check him out at Q Milly over on X, collegebaseballinsiders.com. The other game tomorrow, we have got UCLA and LSU. We're right now plus 210 with the Bruins, minus 280 with the Tigers, totals 9.5. Now, the Tigers did use Cade Anderson to get past Arkansas. How's the pitching depth look like for this matchup with UCLA?
They're going to throw out another potential Friday night guy in Anthony Ianson. You know, they just looked so complete last night. They were so composed in the moment. They'd won in 2023. Like, these guys, some of the guys on the team have already been here and knows what it takes to win. And, you know, they've beaten some of the best teams that year. They beat Florida in the national title. They beat that stud Wake team by Rhett Lauder. And so they're, you know, Jay Johnson knows how to prepare the Tigers better than maybe anybody in the country. And when you look at them and you can throw a Cade Anderson, and then your next best guy could still be a Friday night guy and Anthony Ianson, you're feeling pretty good. That being said, I do think a great bet is sitting minus 160 to 170, depending on what book you're getting. Parlay Arkansas and LSU. I think you're going to get another rematch. These teams aren't done facing each other here in the tournament, and I like that a lot.
I like it. Little creativity. You can find his work, part of VSiN.com, also collegebaseballinsiders.com. He's Quentin Mills. We appreciate the time as always, man, and enjoy the rest of your time in Omaha.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So the World Series, I think the SEC was the conventional wisdom. Obviously, LSU and Arkansas had to go through each other, Will. If they meet up again, it just becomes, what do they say in the SEC? It just means more. It will just mean more. Razorbacks and Tigers invading Omaha together with everything on the line. I'm into that. But if I'm looking at everyone here, I want Coastal to win it again. I'm always about the little engine that could, the little schools that people overlook. From the Sun Belt, winning a national championship, just feels like that actually does mean more to them.
I'm rooting for Murray State. I know it's not promising. They got a tough draw, and they really had to stay out of the loser's bracket to face the loser of LSU-Arkansas. Is a tough draw, but who knows? One game, anything can happen. You can send Arkansas packing, and then you know what? It's all house money from this point on anyway for Murray State. I watched them. I mean, my takeaway from watching these games, just the future of baseball, because so every guy, it doesn't matter, mid-major, middle reliever, starter, third starter, everybody throws 96 plus. It's not just the major leaguers. I mean, you got a middle reliever from Murray State coming in throwing 95, 96. It's every single guy you see. You don't see a pitch below 95. You don't see a fastball below 95. It's incredible the velocity these guys throw with.
Like when we were growing up, pitchers sat between like 88 and 92, and their whole thing was we're going to go deep into the game. These kids let it rip early. Like, hey, if I have to have I'm going to have a Tommy John at some point anyway. So I might as well just give it max effort. So let's just get hot out of the gate. All right, updates on where we stand with the baseball. That's next. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Don't go anywhere. It is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Will Hill and Dustin Sweetelson here coming at you. I'm live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. Will up in the Palatial Estates up there in Connecticut. We've got everything covered this afternoon, so don't go anywhere. Turn the sound of the game down. Turn us up as we take you through the afternoon action and try to find some opportunities for live bets. Now, it's a little difficult with the golf currently in a weather delay at the moment. And we did cash a winner from the first segment of the show. That would be J.P. Crawford, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. While we were in a break, the shortstop for the Mariners gave Seattle a 5-0 lead, bottom two, with a grand slam. He's been smoking hot. That continues today. Adjusted number on that game has, let's see, Cleveland is plus 910, minus 2,800 on Seattle. Total is up to 10.5. With the bullpens and Cleveland not wanting to use their best bullpen arms, it feels like the over could be in play there, a day where the Seattle bats may get there. I wouldn't touch it right now, but that's just a thought. We're very early. We're in the third inning, and we're already looking at Ortiz allowing 5 earned runs where I don't know how deep he's going to end up going into this game, Will.
Yeah, nothing for me there. I had two plays on these 4 o'clock games, under 4.5 in the first five of both of them. And they're both looking good. Both scoreless in the bottom of the second with, you know, first five innings. That's off to a good start. But five spot for the Mariners. A winner for you comes at my expense, so that's a loser.
Yeah,
but
true.
The other one,
sorry, I didn't mean to rub that in.
It's all good. The other one's scoreless going to the bottom of the third. So hopefully just eke out a split here and try to find something else live along the way. I'm looking at U.S. Open. I'm flipping back to see when the U.S. Open's coming back. They're showing old Tiger highlights. Man, he's even better. He's even better than you remember. He's just prime Tiger. They're showing the 2008 U.S. Open against him against Rocco Mediate.
Rocco Mediate.
The physical condition he's in, it's hard to believe how good this guy was. Incredible.
Well, he was getting extra cardio in on the side. That was a key to remember with Tiger in the day in the prime. Plenty of lot of ab workouts for cardio for Tiger. Different angles, all sorts of things. Also, an update in Kansas City. The A's just hit a homer. They're up 3-2. My plus $1.40 on them is live. Nick Kurtz, the first baseman prospect who's been up, showed a little bit of power. He goes deep and gives the A's a lead. Also, developing situation for me and my bet, plus 158 on the White Sox. They have a runner on third against the Rangers. I don't believe anyone is currently out, according to what I'm looking at here. Obviously, here at the D with the plethora of TVs.
I got two outs.
Two outs? Okay, two outs now. So
White
I need
Sox
them to play to run.
White Sox, Rangers.
Yep.
2-1, man on third, two out, top of the seventh.
I need them to play them. Play them and make this thing juicy. Make it interesting. Looking at the number in game, the market doesn't expect that to happen. Plus 289 with the White Sox, minus 419 with the Rangers, who are up 2-1. In-game total 5.5. Feels like an in-game under would be the play, and right as I say that, it drops to 4.5, so they must have gotten the out there. That is always the depressing part, where you think you're going to watch it play out, and the sports book tells you what happens by the number moving. Not fun. Not fun. But that's where we stand right now with the baseball currently going on, Will. My Mets struggling against the Tampa Bay Rays. This might be the end of the road for Griffin Canning, looking like a stud pitcher. Probably going to regress back to being maybe a 4, I would say. I still think the Mets have unlocked something with him. But a tough day for Griffin Canning earlier today. 6 earned with 5 walks against Tampa. And as a Yankee fan, the Rays are nondescript this year. Not like the hype we're normally used to seeing with them. But they're 4.5 back. And Junior Caminero homered again today. He's got 17 on the year, 45 ribbies. Feels like when they normally rely on pitching in the past is what we're used to with them. Are you nervous about this Rays offense that seems to be humming right now?
No, I don't know that they have the upside to win the 95-plus games. You're probably going to need to win the division. But they it's an organization. They always do more with less. Them, the Brewers, they just always get, you know, 120, 130% out of their talent. Now, they don't have the upside because Shane McClanahan, who's a Cy Young-level guy, I mean, he's a Scuba-level talent.
Yep.
He hasn't pitched in, 2 years with the Tommy John, then he had the setback this year. In Wander Franco, the one that just gets forgotten. These guys, they get into trouble and we just kind of forget about them. That's one of the, I don't want to say sadder because he brought it on himself, but that's just one of the bigger wasted talents. That was a guy who, MVP level talent, top 5, top 10 player in the league. I don't think any of that's an exaggeration. He was that good. He was going to be that good. And he's obviously not going to be playing baseball anytime soon, ever again.
No.
Probably ever again. I haven't followed the case, but he's been out of sight, out of mind. So you lose Wander Franco, you lose McClanahan. A small market team can't replace that kind of upside talent, which is why they're not, to me, legitimate contenders. But again, Rasmussen's underrated. You know, they always mix and match the arms. Caminero's a stud. So them being like an 86, 87 win team, wild card, getting the playoffs, and who knows, I think they could be that kind of team for sure.
Sure, sure. And performing like this, if they do get McClanahan back sometime in the second half, it's almost like for them that's equal to making a trade deadline move. If you can get him back and he can reach similar form to what he was before all the injuries, all of a sudden it's like adding an ace at the deadline. So want to go back to Seattle, as we mentioned at the beginning of the segment, up 5-0 on the Guardians.
Wow, I just saw something I've never seen before. I hate to jump in. I just saw something. You know how they say you watch baseball, you'll see something you've never seen before? The Padres game, a guy hits a slow ground ball up the bag. The first baseman's charging on it. Before he can get to it, it hits the bag. It caroms right to the pitcher who catches it and steps on the bag. I have seen probably millions of at-bats between playing baseball, watching baseball. I have never seen that exact play.
So wait, the ball bounced off the bag into Pivetta's hands?
Into the glove. He caught it off the – so it went bag in the air. Pivetta was right there, catches it, and steps on the bag. I've never seen that before.
Baseball's a weird sport, man. It's a tough sport. It's a tough sport to explain to people who didn't grow up watching it, the weird things that can happen. And that is – I saw Pivetta have to, like, maneuver around the umpire as we were going to break, but I didn't see what happened leading into that where the umpire was caught out of position. I was like, why is Pivetta so close to the umpire? That would make sense because he didn't see that coming.
Just wild. You always hear the saying is, if you watch you watch a baseball game, every time you watch a game, you'll see something you've never seen before. I think that's an exaggeration, but you know what? Maybe once a week, once every couple weeks, you do see something that you just, man, I've never seen that before. What was it? This year, the Yankees, their first three guys hit homers on first three pitches. Like, they just see weird things that of all the games played, you think, how can I possibly see something I've never seen before? Yeah. But like you said, baseball can be a very weird, very funny sport.
Oh, and there's a lot of games. There's a lot. Believe me, that's the biggest issue with the sport. There's a lot of games every day, except for when you and I are on the air. Rob Manfred decides to schedule two on a Father's Day. So thanks a lot, Bobby. Thanks a lot. On the Mariners real quick, we were talking about them taking the lead. They're going to get Logan Gilbert back tomorrow. Obviously, George Kirby, a couple starts, but still hasn't looked like the old George Kirby. And Bryce Miller's currently on the IL. If Seattle could ever get right, Will, in that AL West, where right now in the market, the Houston Astros, -$1.80 favorites. Seattle, your second shot at +265. Texas, whose offense is getting a little bit better, but still not what those names should be producing. Do you think Seattle has an opportunity with the depth of the pitching and maybe the offense getting better to do something here in the West?
Yeah, I don't think anybody in the West is unbeatable. Houston's not the same offensive team. Hunter Brown has emerged as a star. They do a good job with their pitching. But Houston is not the Houston we're used to. They, again, that's another team. They're just their culture, their ability to develop players, you have to respect. They just always find their way to October, but they're a good team. They're not a great team. Texas has been disappointing. The bats may be starting to come to life the last week or so. I think they're better than what they've shown offensively. DeGrom's been outstanding. You got Eovaldi coming back here at some point. So the Rangers are a threat, but they've got some ground to make up. I think the Mariners are legit. Mariners with that pitching, now they just always leave you wanting more. Even the pitchers, I don't know, they seem to always just not live up to the numbers. Every time I have money on Gilbert or Kirby, when he's out, I know they're outstanding. They seem to do less with more. They're one of these teams that does less with more. But they're legit. I mean, they're a team that could get in the playoffs. They'd be hard in a short series to deal with their pitching. So it's a wide open American League, as we've seen. The Yankees are good. They're not great. The Tigers are they've got Skubal, but outside of that, okay, they're a good team. They're not a great team. This is one of those years where it's a cliche to just say, hey, you get in, anything can happen. But this is a year where if you get in, anything could absolutely happen in the American League.
No, and they have an elite closer in Munoz, and then the pitching they throw out there in the postseason, it's a recipe for success when there's traditionally more low-scoring games in October. And big dumper, Cal Raleigh's having maybe the greatest season we've ever seen for a catcher offensively. Potentially 60-plus homers and 130 ribbies, something we've never seen done. That's why I think at 22-1 in the AL MVP market, maybe you don't risk a full unit on it. It just feels like if anything were to happen to Judge, who's had plenty of injuries in the past, Cal Raleigh's number would go from 22-1 to what, like 4-1, 3-1? I don't even know. I just think that number's too big based on the year he's having and his importance to the Seattle Mariners. Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Well, winner's Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus their full proxy services. Get this, you'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. All you got to do is head to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. There was a massive trade in the NBA earlier today. Did it make us rethink how things look next year? We'll analyze next on Live Bet Sunday.